You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do. This weekend, we continued our In His Image series as we focused in again on Genesis chapter 1, as well as Ephesians chapter 4.
Pray with me if you would please. Gracious Father, yes, we do need you more than what we know. So often we just move about thinking we just do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. We don't even really think about asking you. We don't think about being in your plan. We just go. But when we stop and really think about it, then we stop and think about our needs and our hurts and all of that, we come to understand that we do need you. Thanks that you're always there for us. In the holy name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, this is the third week that we've talked a little bit or thought a little bit about being in the image of God, created in God's image. 2 weeks ago, we heard Pastor Gerber talk to us a little bit about that we would be able to see God's image all around us. One of the reasons that we weren't to make graven images of any animals or any other things or of the stars in the galaxy, all of those things is because we have the image of God imprinted on every individual that we see. So we just have to look around and look at faces and say, this is the image of God, the created image of God. It's what He has planned. And the creative part of that God is that we all are a little different. We look different. We think different. We have all different kinds of wants and needs and desires and hurts and gifts that God can use. Last week, we talked a little bit about the part of the passage that said, where God said, let us make man in our image, in that plurality, in that where God is made, God is in relationship with Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in a way that none of us really understand because we just don't get that. We're told about it and we see how it kind of works in the scriptures and what we're told. But as we think about how can God be Him when it's an hour or an us. And yet God has made us to be in relationship too. Because we bear His image, He calls us, He wants us to be in a relationship with Him, which Adam and Eve were. But even before that, well, not before that, but even in the midst of that, when He created Adam, before they fell into sin, He created Eve because Adam was right and perfect and the right the way that he should have been, but he still wasn't complete because Eve wasn't there. So God makes a helper suitable for him so that they could live in relationship with each other. Today we want to look a little bit at what are the things that have split our relationship. Why is it that even when we look around and see God's image on people, we can look around and sometimes we have to look really hard at certain individuals to find God's image there. And as soon as I've said that, you already have somebody in mind, right? We've split off what we might be thinking. Oh, there's all kinds of things that can make a split in our thinking. This aisle can make a split in our group. My wife sometimes makes chocolate cake or brownies and she'll put pecans. I said walnuts in the other two services, but she corrected me today and said she puts pecans over half of it because I prefer it without the nuts and she likes it with the nuts. So after I finished my half of the cake, it doesn't mean I won't eat the one with the nuts. I just don't start there, right? My preference is to go without the nuts, and then I'll move over into her section of the cake. But there's a dividing line. There's a separating line. I grew up in a family where everything, every vehicle we had was a Chevrolet. Dad always bought Chevys. One time when I was almost out of high school, he bought a Plymouth, a red Plymouth. My dad, the farmer, bought a red Plymouth. It was like, you got to be kidding. What is up with this? But he went back to Chevrolet. It's always Chevys. And there's families that have been always Fords or always Dodge. And it's kind of like, you know, in the old days when you saw a car dealership, they were known for their brand, right? Is it that way anymore? Now we got dealerships just up the road up here. But if you go to a different town, you can find that they also have the other brand. So do they really think that the brand they're selling here is the best? Or are they just, you know, spreading the bottom line by having other brands too? Growing up on the farm, there were certain colors. It could be John Deere green, it could be, in those days, International Red, could be Case Orange, it could be Ford Blue, it could be Minneapolis Moline Yellow, it could be Oliver Green, could be a lot of those colors. Today, there aren't as many of those colors around, but there are still farmers who will only buy one brand because that's what they've had. That's what they know, right? So we can have friendly divides over those things. But what about when we have a neighborhood and we love the people in our neighborhood and all of a sudden it's getting, you know, it's July and there's an election in a couple of months and all of a sudden there's a sign in their yard from somebody from the other party that we would never vote for. Do we all of a sudden cut our ties with that neighbor because, ooh, they have that? They must have been kidding all these years. I thought we were friends. And we make all of these assumptions based on a sign in a yard, even if we haven't talked to them. Well, when I said before, there's some people who maybe have that image of God planted on them, printed on them, but it seems like we can't see it very much. In these last months, if we look at protesters or the ones who are destroying property and such, we might look at some of those folks and say, yeah, how can they have the image of God? It's a we, they thing. And yet the scriptures are clear when it says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why in the previous song that we just sang, we can go back and say, Lord, I need you. Yes, they need you too. But before I can talk to them about what they need, I have to realize my own needs. And I can also be thankful that, God, you have met my needs. You have given me your word. You've told me about your Savior. Your Spirit is in me, and I thank you for that. So now help me to bridge the gap into the we, they stuff. Because in the Ephesians 4 passage, it talks about in humility and in gentleness and in patience that we would be able to have this spirit of unity or unity in the spirit within the bond of peace. And then it uses the word one 5 or 6 times. Because the whole idea of God making us was to be in fellowship with Him, that the two would be one. John 17, when Jesus is speaking the prayer for His disciples and for the believers and then for those who would be believers, He talks about, Lord, Father, as you and I are one, help us, help the people, help us to be one with you just like you and I are one. It seems so strange for us to talk like that. We oftentimes don't talk like that because I think it just feels strange. How can I be one with God? It's because Jesus makes us one with God. And if it wasn't for His Spirit who could convict us and convince us of those truths, we'd be lost. And in a country on a weekend when we celebrate being the United States and you have difficulties and protests and blockades, different places, we see that obviously we're not united. But that happened already in the garden, right? Because already Adam is saying it was the woman's fault. Already the woman was saying it's the snake's fault. we so naturally pass the buck because of our sin nature. And we just do that because that's the brokenness. Even though the image of God is on us, sin clouds that image, it distorts that image, and sometimes the layers of sin get so deep. Maybe there are some people who haven't been raised with parents that maybe we were raised with, and weren't raised in the church, or weren't raised knowing who Jesus is. And so they've never known a Jesus who would care. Maybe they don't even know if they believe in a God, or if there is a God, or that that God would actually care about them in the place where they live, in the family in which they find themselves, in the hardships that they've experienced. That's really where we come in, who know that. That God would encourage us to, instead of pointing a finger at them, that they shouldn't do or they shouldn't be, that He would allow us to maybe have that finger saying, come, I see that you are acting differently, or you have that sign in your yard, or you're throwing things at people. Could we just talk about why you're doing that? I mean, that's a hard conversation to have, and it's not where we feel most comfortable. But how are they going to know if somebody doesn't tell them? How are they going to know if somebody doesn't care? Maybe nobody in their life has ever cared for them. Maybe they've been raised in a place where families didn't care, parents didn't care, or they had no parents, or whatever the case might be. I mean, obviously, everybody has parents. But maybe parents weren't in the family. And we take for granted that the people have grown up like us, especially in the Midwest, maybe here in Nebraska, maybe even here in Fremont. We think, you know, everybody was raised going to church, and maybe there are people who have kind of fallen away from that, but they know the basics. They kind of know the fundamentals. I think we'd all be surprised that there are people here in town who really don't know anything about our God, at least nothing that would stem from the Bible. And how are they going to know? And that's part of the oneness that God would want for us. If we're going to be in the image of God, then He wants us to have the kind of gentleness and compassion and love that Jesus had. And Jesus didn't always find Himself in hospitable crowds. But He did, in fact, have conversations with those. And He called them out too once in a while, but that's usually when they thought they were better than Him. For the ones who had needs, He was always there. And He would even stop in the middle when there were needs that came on the scene, kind of on the spur of the moment. Think about the things, as we started this message, think about the things that can split a crowd. Think about a word that could split a crowd, right? Democrat or Republican, pro-life, pro-choice. We don't have to even go in those. We can even just say like a Chevy or Ford, or you know, we can go in any of those categories. Pro-mask, anti-mask, right? We can go in all those categories. And we can find people that are like us and allies with us, and we can also find people that aren't like us or comfortable where we are. And what a great opportunity for us to stop and say, this is kind of where I stand and why. But it's not that I should push myself onto somebody else if they're not comfortable with that. But to be comfortable enough to keep the dialogue open. So that when really hard things come up, life and death kinds of things come up, that we can actually say, do you know this Jesus who really cares? He does have a plan, and He wants it for the oneness of all of us. He wants us to come together, to be united. You can drive across this land and see all kinds of different geographic landscapes, and yet we are the United States. The states don't look the same. The people don't all look the same. The landscapes don't all look the same. But it's the same land. We've committed to be together. And when you commit to be together, that always takes work. Any marriage knows that. When you commit yourself together, it's going to take work. And to be committed to that, to say, yes, God has made the two of us one. He's come to bring us together, to be unified. So that with all humility and gentleness and patience, with the Spirit of God, we can have this bond of peace, this unity that He would want us to have. How might He use us to remove those layers of cloudiness from ourselves and from others who may not really know the Savior that is talked about in our scriptures? Again, it begins with us. We have to know God. We have to know that His image is on us, and we have to understand that that means He wants me to, in the earlier service I said, act a different way. But I really need to retract that statement, because I really shouldn't want to act. Act means I'm putting on a show. Act means it's not me. I think what God is calling us to do, as it said in that Ephesians 4 text, He's asking us to live a different way. He's asking us to put the old behind us and to adopt the new. The wording that He used here was, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. What's the calling to which you've been called? It's to believe in Him. It's to have faith in Him. It's to love like He loved, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. That image of God isn't natural to us. And we struggle with that. But that's the challenge for us today. That we could see that image and have that image be living through us. And hopefully could be a bridge to those who don't yet know, or maybe have forgotten, or maybe it's just been a long time and they need to be reintroduced by someone who cares. And that means we would need to take time for others. It means we would need to listen when maybe we feel like we don't have time. But may God work in and through us with His image, the way He's called us to live. Pray with me, would you please? Father God, we thank You for the willingness that You have had to give Your Son so that He might die on the cross and be resurrected from the grave, so that we could have life and be sure of it even now, even in a broken world where things don't always go the way we think they should go. They certainly aren't going the way You think they should go. But Lord, in Your plan and in Your master way, you do know the way all things will end up. And all things will end up in agreement with You, because You are sovereign. You are God. And every knee will confess, and every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow that You are God. Lord, help us in this time. Lord, give us direction. Help us not to look at other groups first and say what they should be doing, but help us to look at ourselves and know that we're the ones who should be confessing our own sins. We're the ones who should be coming before You and saying, Lord, I've sinned. And yes, I've sinned, and thank You that You've forgiven me. So now help me, empower me to be a person who can share that forgiveness and grace with other people that maybe don't yet know You. Gracious Father, as we take a moment for our own confession, we pray that You would that you would show us any weakness in ourselves, any place of sin that we've been harboring that we just don't want to let go of. And Lord, we just bring those things to you. We take a moment of silence for our own personal confession. Dearest Jesus, you've given your life for us that we might never die spiritually, that we might live forever with you. In that truth, we put our faith. Thank you. Thank you that you see our sins and that you have died for our sins. And those sins are thrown as far as the east is from the west, and you remember them no more. Help us to pass that image on to others. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. And it is my privilege to announce to each and every one of you seated here and listening to these words that God has in fact seen your sin, but he has also in fact sent his Son to die for that sin and to call you to proclaim you forgiven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.